Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features Darren Clark, Chief Commercial Officer of California-based concentrate line, Raw Garden. This episode was recorded over the phone on February 17th, 2021.
Clark, Chief Commercial Officer of Central Coast Agriculture, the parent company for Raw Garden. You know, you guys are absolutely killing it right now across the California landscape in terms of your concentrate offerings. I need to ask right off the bat, because I'm pretty sure you came from the traditional market in terms of, you know, working at Yellow Pages, or YP as it's called now, and in other traditional market ventures. I'm curious, what kind of led you to the cannabis industry in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. Why, you know, my career, call it from 1995 to about 2015, was almost entirely centered around technology in the early days of the internet and, you know, the whole online movement that started in the 90s. So I worked for a lot of startups, you know, that were small companies in brand new industries, whether that was things like electronic bill payment or paid search or mobile-based market research. And so when I got to know the guys over at Raw Garden and started hearing about kind of what was going on in the industry and what was going on at their company, I got really excited, because those are like my favorite, you know, environments to work in. When you're at a company that has a bunch of great assets and capabilities, which CCA definitely does, in the middle of a market that's evolving super fast, and so much of it, you know, being driven by new consumers and new people coming in. So I came on board helping them really with some strategy projects. And as we got to know each other, you know, I was able to put myself in a position to actually join the team, and it's been a great ride so far.
Well, in terms of the industry, obviously definitely much different than the traditional market. What has been the most difficult part of that transition so far, and how did you kind of overcome that?
I'd say one of the, you know, a lot of the technology work I did earlier in my career, it was all around advertising and marketing. And so I've done stuff with search, with display ads, TV, radio, even billboards. And as I started getting into the cannabis industry, because of the regulatory issues and, you know, just the nature, the emerging nature of the industry, I realized, wow, this is a really hard marketing problem, right? You can't just spray ads across the internet. You can't, you know, do anything with some of the big traditional media channels like TV and radio. And so we really came up with a advertising and marketing strategy that was really focused on, you know, the consumers and the big influencers to those consumers, which are, you know, usually aficionados and bud tenders.
And when you're looking at, you know, the future of, say, marketing in the cannabis industry, obviously, you know, completely right, we're kind of banned from, you know, traditional pay-per-click advertising on, say, you know, Google, or doing, you know, the impression-based stuff. But when you're looking at the future, are you hopeful for maybe an easing on some of the advertising restrictions for the industry?
I'm hopeful, but I'm not optimistic. And I understand what the regulatory guys are dealing with. We do want to make sure that as an industry, we put our best foot forward and make sure that, you know, we're being totally above board with marketing, and make sure we're targeting people, you know, that should actually be in the market. So yeah, I'd say that's how we're approaching it.
Well, you guys are definitely approaching it the right way. Currently in over 700 dispensaries across California. I think you're actually probably closer to 750, which has got to be close to a majority market share for here in California. I do know that you guys had kind of spoken about entering the Arizona market, you know, sometime during the 2021 you know, annual, but are you kind of locking into a specific quarter to enter that market, and what's kind of the strategy for your expansion plans?
We're actually approaching Arizona, I'd say, in an opportunistic fashion. You know, we definitely want to get in there. For us, it's not just about getting into another state market, but it's really about extending our model in terms of how we approach cultivation and manufacturing. So for Arizona, you know, we think it's important for us to be in a different climate, so we have, you know, kind of redundancy and fault tolerance between all of our cultivation operations. And the same goes for manufacturing. And then the added bonus, right, is that that's a new recreational market with lots of new consumers coming into it. But we're still talking about getting in there by the end of the year, and so far it looks like we're on track.
Well, once you guys are kind of settled into the Southwest, so to speak, or is there any additional market expansions that you guys are looking into for the future? And if you are, what are some of the markets you're looking at?
Yeah, we do keep an opportunistic eye on other markets as they're opening up. For us, we really believe though that in the long term, especially if we continue to see movement and progress on the federal regulatory front, we expect to be able to really leverage our footprint in California to address a lot of the national market. And so that's one of the things that we're being careful with as we plan our market expansion is making sure that we're prioritizing kind of that national readiness more so than individual market readiness as we go forward.
California is a pretty diverse landscape, both in terms of regulatory standards and in terms of consumer trends. What are you kind of noticing across the Californian landscape as far as consumer trend shifts, and why do you think that that's happening?
Well, I'll tell you, 2020, went a lot differently than I think everybody expected, obviously, with the pandemic and the subsequent economic challenges that came out of that. When we look at what happened in 2020, and I don't know if you've seen any of the data for BDS, but flower overperformed, to a massive degree beyond what everybody forecasted. I think everybody was looking for flower to grow 25 to 30% year over year, and it ended up growing almost 40% year over year. And we think a couple of things drove that. We think we definitely saw more price sensitivity in the market. So if you look in a category and look at sizes within that category and then kind of cut it by, or is purchasing moving towards the lower half of the price bands in a given category and size, or is it moving to the top half? Almost across the board in every category, we saw the bottom half of those price bands in each category gaining share. So that led us to believe there was a fair amount of price sensitivity. And if you look at flower is, it's a good deal if you think about potency per dollar. It really is a good deal, especially with some of the quality up-and-coming value brands that are out there.
Well, and when you're looking at flower as a whole, obviously one of the, it's actually the most traditional way almost to consume cannabis. Are you expecting that to kind of expand? Are you expecting concentrates to kind of take over maybe here in Southern California, maybe in the Bay Area? Like, just kind of curious as to what the overall market shift is going to be and if it's going to continue down that path.
Sure. I guess just to round that out a little bit. So flower, I told you, grew almost 40%. I want to say pre-rolls did really well, 35% growth last year over prior year. And a lot of that coming from infused pre-rolls, which is interesting. The vape market by itself, if you take dabs out of concentrates, the vape market by itself actually shrunk slightly last year. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but if you compare 19 to 20, it was actually down about 2%. So we think part of that was the hangover, a bit of the hangover in the first half of the year still from the vape crisis, and then a little bit of that being exacerbated by the economic challenges. But the good news is we finally got above 2019 in about the last third of the year, and now it looks like we're tracking for 20% growth. I'm hopeful looking at the trend so far this year in the vape category, which bodes well for those of us in the concentrate category.
Well, when you're looking at concentrates in particular, obviously there's plenty of different types of concentrates and new types of concentrates kind of coming out all the time. When you're looking at the research and development for what types of concentrates that you want to be able to offer to the consumer market, what is the thought process that goes behind that product offering?
For us, it comes down to a couple things. And I heard through the grapevine that you're a raw garden fan. So
I
the
am.
first big part of our offering is just our assortment, right? We pr try to produce, we produce literally hundreds of strains every year as a combination of our breeding program and our cultivation program. And so that, we really believe we're the only brand where a customer can come back every week or two and be able to find something that's great, but also entirely new. So we think that's, a really big part of our value proposition. I'd say that the other things that we're looking at, especially as it relates to dabbles, is we are looking at new formulations. In fact, we have a new one that'll be coming out in time for 420 that we're super excited about. I can't take the wraps off it yet, but I can tell you it's coming, and we think it's going to be pretty well received. So far, all of the, you know, what I call the aficionados inside of the company who've tried the product think it's great. And the cool thing about it is it's not just a dabble, but you can also, you know, put it on a bowl or easily roll it up in a joint because the formulation is, I'd say, novel and easier to work with.
Well, and you guys, you know, you kind of touched on it, you know, hundreds per year of different strains that you guys are kind of rolling out. I believe you guys are now up to 839 different release strains across 4 years, you know, 327 of which were released just in the last year alone. I mean, how do you guys, you know, manage to release that many products, different types of strain offerings every single year? I mean, the logistics on it have to be mind-boggling.
They are, and I give our breeding and cultivation team, you know, you hear people use the term precision agriculture from time to time. We really do have some top-notch scientists and engineers that are driving this forward for us. And so every year, we go through and we analyze all the strains. So as we're growing and harvesting, we gather, you know, thousands of measurements across all the different strains. So we're always trying to balance agronomic traits, which, you know, makes it easier for us to farm, with consumer traits, which for us is really about flavor diversity and breadth, right? We want to be the brand that's the most representative and covers the full swath of all the flavors and all the terpenes that are out there.
Well, and if you had to pinpoint, I mean, it's so many different strains, but if you kind of had to pinpoint what you believe Raw Garden's top offering across the past 4 years has been in terms of consumer sales, what do you think that strain would be? And do you think that there is a possibility, if it's a legacy strain, of a reintroduction?
So you're hitting on a pretty big hot button inside the company. So we've gone back and forth on this notion of vintage strains and reintroduction. We do have, you know, a vast seed bank where we've cataloged all of these and stored all of these. Currently, we're not doing that because we have some pretty aggressive goals on the agronomic side and on the diversity side. We're still out there trying to hunt down some of those rare phenotypes. But we do have that on our roadmap as something we do want to bring in, is try to bring back the, you know, the best strains in limited release in future periods. The one issue we have with this, Nick, and why it's important is everything we produce is also done in smaller batches. So think about it as only being, you know, 3,000 to 6,000 grams. So the way we gauge this is twofold. One is we look at the rate of, you know, the order rate when things hit the menu. And then to the degree we can with some of our retail partners, we look at the depletion rate in the store, and then that becomes a feedback item or a part of the feedback loop for how we prioritize strains as far as the commercial perspective when we're doing our breeding program.
Well, and I got to ask, you know, having been with the company now for a couple of years and having seen all of the different strains being released, are you a consumer yourself? And if so, which strain would you pick out from the vast quantity that you've done?
Oh, so I'm definitely a consumer. I'd say that one of my recent favorites would have to be our Sky Doggy, number 6. That came out, I'd say, in the last month or so, and I've been hitting that and really enjoying it. And my next favorite would probably have to be Citron Haze, which is a sativa hybrid, and it has a nice kind of citrusy flavor. It's really nice and really smooth. So those would probably be those are two that I've been probably enjoyed most recently over the last month or so.
Excellent. Well, just to wrap it all up, you know, if you had a paintbrush and you kind of just wanted to paint out the next 1, 3, and then 5 year markers for Raw Garden, what does that look like to you?
In 1 year, I would really be excited if we can line things up and enter in a couple of these other large categories in this space. It's something we're looking at seriously and we're lining up. And so I'd definitely like to say that we're, you know, in a year, we're competing much more broadly in California. In 3 years, I hope that the MORE Act is passed and that, you know, that has passed already and that the rulemaking phase with the regulatory guys has been done, and we're actually talking about interstate commerce. I think that's going to be amazing for the industry, and I think it's going to be especially amazing for consumers and really just for people, right? Finally ending the war on drugs as it relates to cannabis is something we talk a lot about internally, and we just, you know, can't see it happen soon enough. And so I'd say that second milestone is where we'd really feel like, okay, we've gotten over the hump on the war on drugs. And then 5 years from now, I would love for this to be a, you know, mostly normalized, vibrant national market, you know, that looks like other consumer packaged goods industries. And yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Excellent. Well, I just got to ask, if you guys are looking to enter into new product categories, you know, kind of being a fan of Raw Garden myself, can you mention kind of which product categories you are specifically looking at and when a potential, you know, happening for that category rollout may be?
I could, but if I did, I probably wouldn't ever be able to do another interview with you again.
Well, I definitely want you to be able to keep your job and keep the communication lines open. I'm a huge fan of Raw Garden, and I can't wait to see what you guys have coming out the pipeline. So I'm really excited to see what you guys got going on. Again, Darren Clark, Chief Commercial Officer for Central Coast Agriculture, the parent company for Californian concentrate line Raw Garden. Again, really thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nick. Really enjoyed it, and hope we get to meet in person soon.
We would like to thank Darren for his time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about Raw Garden by visiting them online at www.rawgarden.farm. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.